Pastor Godman.
Let's put your hands together.
ChatCom Friends 2021.
Praise God. All right, if you're clapping, do it very well for Jesus. Let's celebrate him today. Hallelujah. And for everyone here live and everyone joining us online, I just love for you to help me celebrate my friends, Pastor Yemi and Pastor Bimbo. Can you put your hands together? Let's appreciate them for the great work, very inspiring work, faith-filled work that they do here at Global Impact Church. And I want to appreciate all the pastors, in-house pastors at Global Impact. You guys are phenomenal. You do a great job here. And every time we come here, we get inspired by the great things that you do and how you make ministry happen all of the time. And for all the men of God here present, so many of our friends are here this morning. I want to appreciate all the pastors who have traveled from far and near to be a part of today. Bishop, it's good to see you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Please, you may have your seat. You may have your seat. Praise God. I said praise God. All right. So, it's a privilege to be here to share with us this beautiful Friday morning. I have a short time to share. And Pastor Emir said that for every extra minute that I spend, he will charge me, that I'll pay for it. So, it's just that he didn't give me the rate. So... So I'm at liberty to give myself 50 naira per minute. All right. How many singles are here this morning? Can I see a show of hand? You're single. You're still single. Can I see a show of hand? Single. Beautiful single people. All right. You seem to be in the majority, though. So I would divide my time speaking, you know, here and there between singles and married. I don't have to ask for the married people. I already see the people who didn't lift their hand. So it's okay. So that means I should start out. Let's face the business. Let me start out with the singles. Let's read together 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, yes, from about verse 3 and in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, 2 Peter. Praise God. Okay. I hope I'll be able to read it somewhere. Or I'll probably just open it on my device here. Praise God. I'm speaking to the singles this morning, and I want to speak to what I've titled, Will You Marry You? I want to look at the critical appeal of your person and a self-appraiser of your person for readiness for marriage. I wrote a book a few years ago. It's a mini book titled Gauging Readiness for Marriage. It may be available outside there. I think our resource people are here. I've written quite a number of books on relationship. Sexuality Get a Grip, which is my first book ever. I don't know why I had to write on sex the first time. I thought I should write about the Holy Ghost, but the people ghost shifted my attention. Yeah. My first ever book, Sexuality Get a Grip, I eventually did it into two, for couples and for singles. I think the book should also be available. There's also another book, Solid, Building the Marriage of Your Dreams, Burning Questions, Flaming Answers, 15 questions that every single person should get answers to, and 15 questions that every married person should get answers to. That's the latest and the last book I wrote about relationship. Some of those books will be available out there. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. All the singles in the house, say amen. It says he has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all these by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Let's go on, verse 4. And because of this glory and excellence, he had given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape world's corruption caused by humans. I'm still going on verse 5. In view of all this, knowing that we have received everything that pertains to life and godliness, we have precious promises that we're going to get married, that we're going to have a beautiful home, that things are going to work out for us. In view of all this, he says, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement. You know what to supplement means? How many people here take supplements? Food supplement and all kinds of supplement. After you have eaten your pounded yam, then you take food supplement. You take vitamins. Yeah, you take vitamins. You know, in life, many people, whether single or married, we love to take painkillers, but we don't like vitamins. Many people get into trouble. You see, when you're in trouble, when you're in pain, you need painkillers. Analgesics, you know, and all those things in our own climb here, paracetamol and all those headache painkillers and all laying on of hands. You know, even in spiritual things, it's not every time you lay hands for sickness to disappear. Some laying on of hands, they're like vitamin to enrich your destiny. Yeah, and to help you to gather life together properly, to reset some people's brain before you get into pain. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the difference between vitamins and painkillers. Ladies and gentlemen, I would rather live my life taking vitamins so that I will not get into painful areas of life than to always run for painkillers from time to time. Such people don't live healthy. Bible says here that you supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge. These are supplements. If you go like this, you will not live a painful single life or a painful singlehood. I said knowledge, supplement knowledge also with self-control, and then self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. Verse 7. And godliness with brotherly affection. Because there are many single people who don't understand what it means to demonstrate brotherly affection to everyone except the one that is hiring you. Yeah. You know, it's so easy to go and buy a gift for somebody that's already hiring you. Meanwhile, many people have had their birthday, you didn't give anybody a gift. How do you then want to gain a reputation for generosity as a single person? If it's the only person you are hiring that you always give gift. Are you still with me today? It says, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for how many people? I said, for how many people? For everyone. Many people don't understand love until they're ready to get married. Who will I pour my love and affection on? Why have you been pouring it before now? It's not supposed to be for everybody. Yeah. Everybody. Everybody. It says, brotherly affection with everybody. Look at verse 8. Said the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you grow like this, the more you grow like this, the more useful, the more productive you will become in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9, last verse, says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Those who fail to live this way, he said they are short-sighted or they are blind. Now, based on what we have seen from 1 Peter chapter 1 here, if you do a critical appraisal of your person as a single person, if you do a critical appraisal of yourself, would you say that you have an appeal that will make you marry you? Think about it from this point of view. That I am not the one that is going to get married. Somebody else wants to get married, and they're looking for somebody to marry. They're looking for somebody who is living according to 1 Peter 1 from verse 3 to 9. Somebody who is pursuing moral excellence. Somebody is pursuing academic excellence. Somebody is pursuing, you know, physical excellence. Somebody who is adding supplements vitamins to their life, who is preparing himself or herself as, you know, a bride that is worthy of someone. You see, all of us are children of God and we pray. Why should I be praying for somebody to marry and God will give me a caricature of one of his children? I mean, give me somebody that... The fact that you are praying should not nullify my own prayer. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. If I'm preparing myself to be the right person, I think God is faithful. He wants to give me the right person. But many people want to qualify themselves and turn themselves to the prayer point of a community or a church when they're supposed to just do the right things so that they can become desirable. Can you hear me ask your neighbor, are you a desirable person? Yeah. So before you spend too much time in prayer, prayer is good. Make yourself desirable. Are you the person that the person you are thinking of marrying is looking for to marry? Because when that happens, then there's it's a catalytic event. Even heaven will rejoice. Am I the person that the person I'm looking for is looking for? Those are the kind of questions I should be asking myself if I'm single. Am I the person that the person I'm looking for is looking for? Because if I'm not the kind of person that the person I'm looking for is looking for, then it's a long journey. It's a long journey. It's a long journey. And today I want to speak to living like, you know, 1 Peter 1. Just living a life that you are preparing yourself for what is ahead of you, preparing yourself for what God wants to do with you. Not just preparing for marriage, but living a life and preparing for life. The big deal is that anyone that wants to marry is looking for somebody that is living, not somebody that's not alive. And some people are existing but not really living. Existing but not really living. First Corinthians 15, I think verse 45. Can you put it up? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. In any translation is good for that one. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. The Bible describes the first man. 45, please. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. The Bible described the first man, Adam, and then described Christ. So the scripture tells us, New Living Translation, the first man, Adam, became a living person. That's the least that anybody should be. He said, but the last Adam, Christ, is a life-giving spirit. The truth is that we're all looking for life-giving spirit. Somebody who has something to give. Who has life, the life of God to give. Am I telling you the truth today? Is scripture true? We are after the order of Christ. We are life-giving spirits. The least that God expects from each and every one of us, singles, hear me today, is that at least you are a living person like Adam. But it's not good enough. Adam could not give life to anybody. Christ is a life-giving spirit. I want to be that person that when in my marriage, I'm a life-giving spirit. I'm emitting the life of God to somebody else. I'm not just living, I'm giving life. You know, part of why God changed his mind, I don't know how better to put it. Adam did not grow. He just appeared. Yeah. Adam was never a child. So he didn't have opportunity to grow. When the second man, Christ, will come, God did not bring him like Adam. He had to come through the womb of a woman so that he could be nurtured, so that he could grow. Luke 2 and 52, and the child Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in faith. You will never see that about Adam. And Adam grew in stature. He came up in stature. They made him fully in stature. That was why he was just a living being. Yeah. For you to be a life-giving spirit, you have to grow. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. The best teachers are not talented people They are skillful people. There's a difference between talent and skill. Talent is the one God gave you. Skill is the one you cultivate. Yeah. Talent is unconscious competence. Skill is conscious competence. The one that I develop consciously. That is skill. But talent is unconscious competence. I do things. They ask me how do I do it? I don't know. So how can I teach it? Because it's just in me. It's just me. Yeah. They say, you can crack jokes. So, it's just talent. You cannot teach people how to crack jokes because it's talent. If you learn how to crack jokes, you can have a school of comedy. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's the difference between conscious competence and unconscious competence. Adam was an unconscious competence kind of person. He just woke up one day and was already a man. Yeah, was already a full man with full body, and he can impregnate somebody. Yeah. So he there were many things he did. That's why the first marriage was very troubling. Yeah. Even when God called him, he didn't take responsibility. He said, the woman that you gave me. Because I didn't ask for the woman. You are the one that gave me the woman. You know, I know that. And I didn't have parents that I would have seen how they run their own marriage. You understand? Unlike Christ. Yeah. Unlike Christ. Christ came true. And at least he had, you know, a father figure. In Joseph, had a mother and all that. So, you know, some people want to live like Adam when you're supposed to be living like Christ. That's the point I'm trying to make as a single person. No mother, no father, no beginning of day, no end of day, like Melchizedek. Yeah. Nobody can give you instruction. You live your life anyhow. Yet, you want somebody to desire to marry you. How? And how is it going to happen? And then what are you going to teach your children? What are you going to teach your children? Because I still remember all the learnings from my late mom. And it affects what I teach. Not the same way, because they taught me with Cain. But now I'm not teaching with Cain again. Because I chopped Cain. My mother was a disciplinarian. Yeah. So she taught with a lot of Cain. And she was a school teacher at the same time. Yeah. So it was tough. Yeah. When I was in primary school, I used to think that someday somebody will come and just say, I've come to take this boy away because thank you for taking care of him. Because I thought she was not my mother. That they just hired her to be taking care of us. My sister cried one day, and she cried and she said, You need to show me my mother today. after she had chopped beating, like the kind of beating that will make you think that this person will not give back to you. Yeah. So you cannot grow up that way and not know how to instill discipline, do it in a better way. You know, somebody that's living like Adam, they don't read. Jesus was sitting down with Rabbi at the age of 12 and learning and arguing and being corrected. And, you know, and he was humble enough, though they were talking about him, but he sat there. The rabbi, they were arguing about Messiah. Messiah was sitting down. Yeah, because even at 12, he knew he was the Messiah. It was not a revelation he got later. I hope you're getting what I'm saying today. So, what I'm driving at is that there's a way, a positioning that I take, that I see myself, one, that I need to be somebody that is living and desirable and that has a life. Then I progress from there as a single person, as somebody who wants to get married and become somebody who can give. You know, some people know how to receive love, but they don't know how to give it. And it creates problem. Because in marriage, you have to be able to do it both. You have to be able to receive love, and you have to be able to give it. You have to be able to give it. You have to be able to give it. Some people are just receivers. They just know how to receive. But they are not a life-giving spirit. They don't know how to give. Let me quickly rush down through a few things for singles here today. There's a way you can live your life that it shows that you don't even have a life like Adam, let alone becoming a life-giving spirit. Some people are too consumed with finding someone to marry or somebody to meet their need that they lose their sense of significance. The real you takes a back seat. You are not really living again. There are many things you are postponing. When I get married, I will have a car. When I get married, I will decide the final direction to go in life. Some people are waiting for somebody to come and straighten them out. You know, there are young men right now who are still squatting. And you say, when I get married, I'll get my own apartment. Yeah. Why don't you get your own apartment right now? And you know, have a place to yourself and organize it the way you organize it. You know, there are all kinds of things that people say, just like we postpone things. Like some people will say, you know, around Easter this year, I was telling some people around me that, you know, there are many things that people are saying now that it's after Easter. Easter is just next week. Oh. And people will say, that meeting, we'll have it after Easter. And that place we want to go, after Easter. Very soon now, it's Christmas, people will be talking about. Though it's still far away. That's how we choose to postpone things. And we choose to postpone things around our lives also when you don't hold your own life. Let me go through a few traits of a no-life person. Somebody who doesn't have life. A few traits. And such people are not actually positioning for a blissful marriage. Not positioning to be found. Somebody that doesn't have life right now is desperate. Desperation connotes that you don't have life. You don't have a life of your own. That's what I mean. Desperate to get a relief from boredom, to get someone to give you life or to give your life a meaning. You know, what you need actually is to be desperate for God and desperate for destiny. You know that there are Christians in church who will go because of desperation. You go spend weekend, you wash clothes, cook food, yeah, go and kneel down for the parents and just, you know, just trying to be nice. You pack weekend clothes. You say, Pastor, nothing happened. We're just practicing husband and wife. Yeah. We're just seeing how it will work out. All those things are born out of desperation. Yeah. All kinds of desperate things that people do. I remember when, back in the day, when we were in university, one day a brother received a gift from a sister in our fellowship and brought the gift to me. And it was palm slippers, you know, palm sandals. A lady bought palm sandals. Beautiful one, designer one, back in the day, that we all could not afford. It's like somebody buying Gucci slippers for a brother in fellowship. We're all undergrads. And the brother brought it to me and said, PG, sister so-and-so gave me this, and I don't understand it. Because this is very expensive, you know, and I can't even afford it. I can't even wear it. Because if I wear it, people start suspecting me. Perhaps she came in, I think she was from a bit of a well-to-do background and all that. So, I was confused as a young pastor. I didn't know what to do. Well, I had to call her to ask, why did you do what you did? But eventually, what we had to do, I spoke to my stand pastor, we had to pull her aside to say, that brother is not digging you. It's not digging you at all. So, stop wasting your... Because what the guy saw from my action was desperation. And then I noticed that she generally was gravitating towards him. Even when his jokes were not funny, she would be the only one to laugh. You know, all those kind of things. And then you know that something is wrong here. Yeah. Because you're literally pushing yourself on someone. And it's desperation. People who have a life of their own, you don't think that except you marry somebody or except somebody is digging you or looking at your side, then you are not leaving. You are supposed to be able to leave on your own, right by yourself, enjoy life, and live a life that is attractive, that is giving, emitting life enough to attract other people to you. Is somebody still here today? Praise God. If you want to clap, please do it very well. Praise God. The second thing I'll talk about as a trait of somebody who doesn't have life on his own or her own is dependency. Overly dependent. We all have to depend on people But not like without people you can't live. You can't take that into marriage. You will become a burden for somebody to be pulling all the time, like a trailer that has been parked. Do you know how many people they need to move a trailer that has been parked, that cannot move by itself? And some people have become like that, like a parked truck or trailer. Yeah, that's why they have to call family meeting in marriage. Everybody has to come to move you 1 inch. They have to run a whole weekend of meeting. That's what happens when such people get into marriage like that. You are overly dependent. You cannot make decisions on your own. You cannot, you cannot decide what is the next thing for you. So do you need to be attached to someone in order to feel good about yourself? Do you always need people to be able to make a decision for the next thing for you? You know, the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. So I'm not talking about counsel. I'm talking about people who have no idea at all what they want to do. And you are depending on somebody to give you instruction. After a while, you know what happens in marriage? It now becomes a case of, he's always talking down on me, or she's always talking down on me, or talking down at me. And then she's always giving instruction, or he's always giving instruction. It's because before now, you had positioned yourself as somebody that cannot make a decision on your own. After a while, somebody gets used to it. They marry you. They keep giving you instructions. No more advice, instruction. Because they know that I said they instruct you, you won't do anything. Are you still here? I said, are you still here? And when you now have two dependent people dating each other, that's a disaster going somewhere to happen. Yeah. You remember in Coming to America, one. Remember that lady that they said Akeem should marry? Many people. He said, so what do you want? Anything you want, my lord. If you haven't seen the movie, he said, you know, that Akeem knew that this is not a marriage. Yeah, this is not a marriage. This person is a dummy. Cannot think on. You can imagine. Let me know. I don't want to go too much into that movie. I can't even remember everything again. I watched it maybe about 30 years ago. But the little I can still remember was that Akeem looked at that young lady and said, there's no life here. Yeah. She's beautiful and everything. But every time I ask, what do you want? Say, whatever you want. Yeah. You know, when you are dating somebody and you say, how are you going to spend your weekend? And you have no idea. And you say, oh, can we go out? Yeah, wherever you want us to go. Do you go out on your own? So that when I meet you and I say, can we go out? Yeah, you can go out. I used to hang out in this place or that place. Or this is how I plan my weekend. Yeah. How do I know you have a life on your own? Is that you have planned your month. And when I even bring idea, if I'm dating you, it's like, okay, I'll check and see how we can work things out. Not that, which weekend are you free? Every weekend. You know, I'm always available. I don't have a life on my own. Whatever you bring, yeah, we'll just go with it. That's a problem. In marriage, it creates a mess, complete mess. So desperation, dependency, let me add one or two to it, then I'll wrap up with talking to married people. Attachment to the media. Yeah, especially these days, social media. The first time I thought this message was 2011. There was no social media then. In my notes here, I have TV and all those things. But you know today, Instagram has taken over from TV. You know some people, they sleep with their phone. And then you want a sweetheart. There's a problem. You are creating a problem. Yeah, because when you get into marriage, I know many marriages now, many counseling that I do now, that the thing is that the home is being, a lady spoke to me and said, Pastor, if there's anything you can do, to tell my husband to get out of Instagram. He said our marriage will be better. Yeah. Our marriage will be better. There are many people who have told me that. See, I went to check the people my husband or my wife is following. One lady told me, said, I went to check the people that my husband is following. All of them are always people with big behind who will be shaking it all the time. And I said, you are a Christian. Why are you following these people? Yeah. And unfortunately, the person that's telling me this does not have anything behind. So, see. So she was already threatened. No, she was already threatened by that. I'm just being vulnerable with you. Yeah. She was already chatting. She was almost crying. She was comparing herself with the people that her husband was following. Not one, not two, like 10. All kinds of ladies who are always shaking their back and all that. And he's a brother in church, so I'm not talking about unbeliever. You know what social media has done. Let me tell you what social media has done. It's like drinking alcohol, beer. You know you have to go to the beer parlor to go and get beer. Or at least send somebody to a store and buy beer if you want to drink beer. Now imagine that they just changed the law that beer can just be flowing through our tap at home. In no time, everybody will become an alcoholic. Am I saying the truth? That was what happened through social media. That pornography can now flow to you through your phone. You don't have to. When we were growing up, Papa Jasko and Lolly, we have to go and buy the magazine, you know, and bring, and my parents will be chasing us. What are you reading? What are you reading? You'll now be hiding it under your bed. Today is on your phone. You don't need to go and buy Lolly or buy. Pastor Emi understands what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about? Today, there's nothing like that again. We grew up different. Everything is on the phone. If you cannot regulate yourself with social media, with phone, with Netflix, you don't have a life of your own. Yeah. People are looking for people who have life and who are willing to give life. Because many people will say, PG, how is it that I just get into a relationship and the relationship just crash and crash? Why will it not crash? Because all of a sudden, I mean, these are dates where people go on a date and half of the time, or, you know, 80% of the time at the date, nobody's talking. Just looking at the phone. Yeah. Looking at the phone all the time. Because it's something that you have gotten so used to, so attached to. Is there something that is stealing life away from you? Do something about it before it's too late. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying this morning. Do something about it before it's too late. Because that's a way of affecting your life. Praise God. Can you hear me? Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, get a life. Yeah, get a life. Get a life. Recognize that you are a person of self-worth. Groom yourself, asking yourself all the time, am I the person that the person I'm looking for is looking for? Because then I don't have to fast for 30 days. One day is enough. Yeah. One day is enough. One day is enough. Just fast and pray. One day you will locate each other. It's when you are not the person that the person you are looking for is looking for, then it becomes a spiritual warfare matter. Yeah. Because it's a spiritual warfare matter. Because then you have to manipulate things in the spirit for that to happen. But if you are the person that the person you are looking for is looking for, then the rubber meets the road. Yeah. And things just flow. Let me quickly speak one or two things to the married people who are here this morning. Married people, can I get an amen? All the pastors that are here are mostly married. Pastors, can I get an amen? In the remaining time that I have, which is just about 12 minutes, I want to speak to the need for us to pay attention to our marriages from a particular order that you can see from John chapter 2. This is going to be strictly scriptures. John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, there's a big lesson there. The first sign or miracle of Christ was not physical healing. It was not raising the dead. It was removing marital shame. Or an intervention that is social, that can lead to emotional problem, that can lead to a wrong foundation for a marriage. Yeah. Because the Bible says in, I think, John 2 and verse 10 or so, said there beginneth the signs. The signs. That was the first sign that Jesus went, and it was at a wedding. And the very salient things in that passage that I believe every married person, and even singles can get something from, but every married person, whether you're a pastor or you're just a business person, that we must pay attention to. One was discovery of what is going wrong. Because the scripture says here in John chapter 2, Jesus was invited to that marriage. His disciples went with him and they were there. There's an assumption here, which is that all of us married people here are saved and we have already invited Jesus to our home. Yeah. But when wine is running out, are you quick to discover where the wine is running out? Because they discovered that the wine has run out. There's no more wine. There are many people living in self-denial. Many people live in self-denial in marriage. Just to be able to say, the wine is no longer available here, is a problem. You know, if you ask my wife, she couldn't come today, maybe she'll be able to make it tomorrow. If you ask my wife, she has marked me the troublemaker of our family. Yeah. And I'm proud to carry the title because it's working. Because I'm the person to point it out. Babe, we are not talking. We have not been talking as much. When was the last time we played a game together? Last time we played a game, it was Ludo we played a couple of weeks ago because I insisted we have to play a game. So she said, all the games in this house are boring. Okay, let's play Ludo. Where will we find Ludo? She said, bring your iPad. We downloaded the Ludo, electronic Ludo, right there. And we sat and we played like 6 rounds. She was beating me. I was enjoying it. Yeah. But, so when do you notice that some things are not the way they're supposed to be? Do you pay attention enough to see that the wine is running out? Yeah. Sometimes the wine is running out and it's like maybe you're no longer planning your finances together. Or you're looking away from it. The wine is running out. We don't longer crack jokes in this home. Everything has become serious. Pay attention. All kinds of places where wine can be running out, somebody must be willing to call the attention of other parties to it. They discovered that the wine is running out. Verse 3 of John chapter 2. You have to be aware that your wine has run out. And something has to change. Something has to be done. After the discovery. The second thing, verse 3 and 4 of John chapter 2, was that they made some effort. You know, in some marriages, people see that some things are going wrong, but nobody's willing to do anything. It's not like they have not discovered, like this case they discovered, but they're not just willing to do anything. And then another thing I will add to that is, when you want to do anything, what kind of persons do you talk to? When they discovered that one was out, and they knew that Christ was there, the first thing they did was to go and meet the mother of Jesus. Yeah. Who has the password to Jesus' phone or to heaven around you? Who can give you a great counsel? Yeah. Who can give you a great counsel? Pastors, can I say the truth to us, especially as called men and women? We are not above counseling. We are not above, the more we expose our lives, expose our marriages to people who have the pedigree of Mary. Mary was not ordinary. She has been so exalted in certain parts of Christianity, they literally worship her. Though we know the Bible did not recommend that. We have only one Lord and Savior. But that she has a place as a woman that was chosen. Yeah. Thou has found favor with God. She was a woman who found favor. There are many people who have found favor with God around you, who know the way of God, who understand the things of the Spirit, and who can help you to straighten out things. They went to Mary. If they had gone to somebody else, can you imagine they went to Peter? Yeah. Peter would be like, you want people to just be drinking? We're not here for drinking. Just go and sit down. You people have had enough. I mean, it's just about drink. You know, there are some people you talk to about your marriage and they will tell you, it's even so sweet, self. Yeah, and you are complaining. Don't worry, nothing is wrong. Just go and sit down. Yeah. But you know where the thing is spinning you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And there are some things you tell some people, they won't even believe because they have not experienced it before. They won't believe. They just see you as a big person or somebody who is doing okay. They went to meet Mary. Mary knew the foundation of everything. And Mary told them, whatever I tell you to do, do it. If I tell you to do, do it. And Mary compressed the red button and went to meet Jesus. You know, I know in New Testament Christianity you should be able to pray for yourself, but there's always sense and understanding that people can give you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. There's always sense and understanding that people can give you. What's the name of that prophet? Eli. Samuel's prophetic ministry, you cannot compare with Eli. They're like night and day. But Samuel needed Eli to be able to hear God for the first time. Yeah, just that one time. Just that. The moment you get it once, you are good. Samuel, your prophetic ministry has been launched. But without that Eli, who is already losing vision, who cannot even move a fly in the spirit again, you may not be able to open up your own prophetic ministry. How somebody's following me today? Yeah. And it's the same for all of us. You want a great marital life? There are people who will prime the heavens open over your life. There are people who will give you counsel that will sustain your marriage forever. Sometimes one word, one counsel can save you a heartache that will happen in 20 years' time. But from now, yeah. Mary told them, whatever I tells you to do, do it. Whatever I tells you to do, do it. And that's my admonition for somebody here today, that it's time for us not to suffer in silence, to put some effort. Yeah. You get the right kind of help in season. Things are fast track around you when you talk to the right people about your marriage. And the next thing we can see there are the instructions. The instructions. What is God's divine instruction to you right now as a married person? You see, one of the tests of growth is that God is always dealing with you about something. Yeah. God is always dealing with you about something, especially in your marriage. Yeah. That's one of the tests of growth. He that the Lord loves, he chastises. If you are not being chastised about anything, maybe you are no longer in love with Jesus. Yeah. Maybe you are now on your own. For every married person here present, I need to ask you this question. What is the one thing right now in this season that God is dealing with you about concerning your marriage? Is that one thing? Sometimes it's about patience. Because the instruction that Jesus gave, the Bible says there were 6 water pots there, made out of stone. And the instruction he gave them was very simple. Fill the water pots. With what? Water. Many a times people are expecting grandiose things. Fill the water pot with water. Water is everyday things. Like, fill this water pot with more patience. Fill it with a little bit more of availability. Fill it with a little bit more of friendship. Fill this water pot. The more you fill with the water pot with ordinary things, the ordinary things become fire. They become intoxication. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's the ordinary things that we fill the water pot with. Water is not wine. What they needed was wine. Many people are looking for God to pour out wine when God is saying, you pour out water. Because when you keep pouring in the ordinary things that you can do, which is water, I can turn the water to wine and your marriage can become sweet again. Say amen, somebody. Are you pouring the water? Are you pouring the water? The water of forgiveness, because you can forgive. Yeah. Those are the things that you can do. When I do the things I can do, God will do the things that only He can do. That's how it works. You're pouring the water of forgiveness. Are you pouring the water of openness? Are you pouring the water of affection? Where you are just showing affection, affection, affection. Because those are things within your control that you can do. I may not be able to control the emotion of my wife, but I can keep pouring water. Yeah, just keep pouring the ordinary things that I can do. That I can do. Sometimes my wife and I, we have a misunderstanding. But my sense still tells me, before you go out, go and greet her and hug her. She may not hug me fully, but she will try to hug small. So as I'm going, at least I know I poured my water. So that before I come back, God will turn it to wine. For this one that you are carrying long face, yeah? Especially if you're a pastor, you carry long face, you leave home, then with anger here, a bit of bitterness here, I'll now go and preach the word of life. You understand? And expect that people will get blessed by it. And then, because I didn't pour any water before I left home, I will still go and meet my empty drum there. You understand what I'm saying? That's what happens a lot of the time when you are going to work, as even as a business person. Please understand that if you do what you can do at home, then God is bound to visit you in the place that you see, the emotion with which you go to work matters. Yeah, it matters. And God wants us to keep pouring the water in the areas that we need to pour water from time to time. And then we will see that he who loves obedience will be able to fill or turn the water to wine. Ladies and gentlemen, as I close, you can ask the question, when did the water turn to wine in John chapter 2? Is it in the pot? Or when, you know, there are levels of obedience. There's a level of obedience of keep pouring the water. There's another level of obedience of scoop the water and take it to the chairman of the occasion. Yeah. I believe that the water, I mean, there's no biblical proof for what I'm saying right now, but I believe that the water turned to wine on the last leg of the obedience. When you scoop the water, after you have obeyed the first, fill the water pot. As they were carrying it to the chairman, the water turned to wine. When you know that there's no more emotion or passion or romance or fire in your home, but you are still carrying the water as if it's wine. As you are carrying it, that's when it turns to wine. You remember the story, lastly, you remember the story of a man who went to meet the judge and said, I want to divorce my... They went for a divorce case. Most of us have heard the story before. And the judge read into the situation and saw that these people, they're just getting some things wrong, you know. So the judge just said, you know what? Okay, I've heard. We will decide on this case in 30 days' time. Yeah. But between now and 30 days' time, you, the man who says, I don't want to do it again, you are not permitted to leave your house without giving your wife a peck, hugging her, and telling her I love you for the next 30 days. Then come, I will make my judgment on the 30th day. You know what happened? The man was literally carrying water like wine. Because every morning, based on the instruction of the judge, he will hug his wife as he's going to work and give her a peck and say, I love you. When she got back from work, she will do the same. After a while, the hug with hands down became hug of full hug, full gospel hug, you know, small. Between then and 30 days, they both went to the judge and said, we are not separating again. Because something happened as they carried water like wine. May new wine break out in your home. May grace come upon your household, turning everything around that the enemy has planted in the name of the Lord Jesus. Rise up on your feet, everyone. Lift your two hands to Jesus and just say, Father, fill my home with new wine. For everyone that is married here and for all of our single friends, I want you to lift your hands to Jesus and just say, Lord, prepare me for what you have prepared for me. Prepare me for what you have prepared for me. Prepare me for what you have prepared for me. There's something that God has prepared for you this season if you're single. And you need to trust God to prepare you for what he has prepared for you. The grace to participate. The grace to build capacity for your opportunities. Because there are opportunities God will bring into your life this season. But you need to critically appraise your life and focus on those vitamins and supplements that you need to bring into your life right now so that you can actualize your marital destiny. Lift your hand to Jesus and pray. Say a prayer. Just continue. Speak to God this morning. Speak to God this morning. Glory be to Jesus.
Somebody lift your two hands to Him and wave those hands to Jesus right now. For every single person in this house right now, will you say, Father, I release myself to you. Help me to be self-aware. Help me to be able to see the places that I need to work on. Help me to see those places that I need to work on. So, Father, we pray for everyone joined to this service right now, everyone watching online, everyone here present. We ask for an unusual self-awareness for this season. That as we go into the second half of this year, open our eyes to see the places that we need to work on. Open our eyes to take responsibility for our marital destiny. Lord, if there's a book that somebody needs to read, if there's a message they need to listen to, a master class they need to attend, Lord, make it happen in the second half of 2021. Let no one be stranded in their marital destiny again. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, if there's any point in our lives where there's a limitation, a curse, a wall of limitation, today I come into an agreement of faith with your sons and daughters, and I decree that walls are collapsing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, every cloud covering people's marital destiny, we command a shift in the spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we rebuke every dark cloud, and we command you, move in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord, we pray for every home where the wine of love is running dry. We ask, open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to discover. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, as many as are living in denial, Holy Spirit, you are the one who convicts us. We ask that you convict every heart. Show us the places where we need to walk. Show us the places where we need instruction. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us to good instructors. Your word says our teachers will no longer be hidden from us. Open our eyes to see our teachers. Send us Marys who will tell us the right thing to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we receive grace for obedience upon everyone. For everyone here who needs grace to forgive, we receive grace over you to forgive. For everyone here who needs grace to be patient, we receive grace over you to be patient. Father, we thank you. For every water that we need to pour this season, we receive grace. From Recharge 2021, we live here pouring water into our pots. No pots will be empty again. In the name of Jesus. And we ask that you breathe over every pot that has been filled already. Turn water to wine. And let your name be glorified in every home. In the precious name of Jesus. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Pastor, if you allow me, I just want to say this. During the pandemic last year, I worked on a platform. It's called AmariCourse.com. There's a marriage enrichment program on it, and there's a marriage preparatory program on it. It's not free. It takes a token for you to participate. I hear many people say, especially now that people are jackpying, just leaving the country and all that. Two people are dating. They want to get married. Somebody's here. Somebody's there. And in a lot of our churches or a few of our churches, they don't even have a way to cope with that. That was what motivated me to do that. So two people are not living in the same city. You can get on AmariCourse.com, do a 12-week program. It's a DIY. Do it yourself. Yeah. Do it yourself. And it's fantastic. We'll send you the back end of all the answers to all the questions there so that you can use it, because it's about stimulating discussion. Yeah. So you can agree on basic things in your home. Yeah. So especially for people watching us online, and after you have heard some of these things, you say, so I'm in a relationship. How do I prepare appropriately? That's an opportunity for you. And if you're married or single, there's something for you there. It's been a pleasure. Amari. Amari. Amari is actually Latin for love. Yeah. AmariCourse.com. Yeah, AmariCourse.com. It will be a blessing to you. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Yemi.
Thank you so much. Please put your hands together for Pastor Godman for blessing us.